passage in the Bible from John's Gospel, chapter 20. Perhaps if I read from verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And 8 days after, his disciples were again within, and Thomas with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he says to Thomas, "Bring thy finger here, and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus says to him, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they who have not seen and have believed." Many other signs, therefore, also Jesus did before his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. I don't need to tell you that last weekend was Easter weekend. We don't know when Jesus was born. We tend to celebrate it at Christmas, but we don't actually know when Jesus was born. But we do know when Jesus died. We know from the scriptures that he died at the time of the Passover, and that is at Easter. So we know that Jesus died at Easter. And the chapter that I've been reading from, John's Gospel chapter 20, it might be familiar to everyone here, but if it's not, it starts with Easter Sunday, the day that the Lord Jesus rose from among the dead. That was last Sunday, and really, what I've read today was the Sunday after, and today is the Sunday after Easter, and I thought, we might get some help just thinking about the things that happened on the Sunday after Easter. The Lord Jesus died at Easter, but he also rose from among the dead. Some of you will know my father-in-law. He's passed away now, but I remember him telling me a story. I can't remember it precisely, but he was speaking to a jockey who was a Christian, and he asked him how he came to be saved. And he said, you know, as a jockey, he liked to have a wager on a horse, and he went to a bookmaker's, and there was a horse race. There was a horse called Easter King, and he thought, I'll put some money on Easter King. And he did, and he went to watch the race. And if you've watched horse racing, the horses are kind of in some kind of cage before they lift up the cage and off the horses go. And apparently, just before the race started, this horse reared up and injured itself so badly that it had to be put down, it had to be killed. And that man couldn't get out of his mind the king that died at Easter. But not only did Jesus die at Easter, but he rose from among the dead, the resurrection. That's what we particularly remember at Easter. But in a sense, the resurrection, as I think the scripture I've read shows, isn't just for Easter Sunday, but it's for every day. It's for our faith. We're to believe, if we believe, that Jesus rose from among the dead, as I think we'll come on to see. It should affect each one of us and affect our lives. Because there's a man here called Thomas. You probably know him. He's often referred to as Doubting Thomas. But, you know, Thomas had a faith. Thomas came to show that faith in this scripture where I've read. Here we are, that resurrection Sunday, Thomas wasn't there. The other disciples were gathered and Jesus came and appeared to them and said, "Peace be to you." And perhaps you feel that you've missed an opportunity to either hear about the Lord Jesus or for Jesus to speak to you, but there's another opportunity. There's another opportunity tonight. Thomas didn't miss out. Yes, he missed seeing the Lord Jesus on that first Sunday when he rose from among the dead. And in fact, Thomas is quite strong here. He says, doesn't he, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and my hand into his side, I will not believe. And that I will not believe is a strengthened negative. He's very definite about what he thought. He really wasn't persuaded that Jesus had risen from among the dead just because the disciples, and I suppose he'd spent, 3 years with those 10 disciples, he'd been with them, he knew what they were like. You'd have thought he would have believed what they had to say. And perhaps you don't believe what I'm saying to you tonight, but rather like Thomas, I would say, think about the Bible. The Bible is true. The Bible is God's word. It tells us of God's plan of blessing for us. And here Thomas is. He's not sure, but he's with the disciples. He's with them. There they are. And Jesus, it says, and 8 days after, his disciples are again with him, and Thomas with them. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." I wonder if anyone here feels that they need peace. Not just an earthly peace. We've just been marking the 25th anniversary of the so-called Good Friday Agreement, haven't we? I suppose it's brought a measure of peace, but is that the kind of peace that you would like? A peace that can be broken at any time by lawless men letting off bombs or shooting people or terrorizing people in some way? And that's not the kind of peace that God would have you to have. It's not a peace between men. It's peace between you and God. God wants you to have peace with him. That's why Jesus here says, "Peace be to you." Remember, as Jesus was being born, the angels appeared and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Peace was coming. Peace can only be made through the one who was born there in Bethlehem's manger, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. He made peace. How did he make peace? It wasn't the life of the Lord Jesus that made peace. It was a remarkable life. How different from my life. My life's been full of sin. Things that I've thought, said, done that are wrong. His life was quite different. And yet, it wasn't his life, perfect though it was, that brought peace between me and God and you and God if you put your faith and trust in him. The way that the Lord Jesus made peace was by going to the cross. It might seem hard to understand. Why should a man dying on a cross mean that there can be peace? But you see, as a sinner, my sin stands between me and a holy and righteous God. The Bible tells me the wages of sin is death. No one can argue against that. You look around you, can you see anyone that, naturally speaking, isn't going to die at some point? That's the effect that sin has on me and on you. The reality that we're marked by sin, we're marked by death, we're marked by frailty, and sooner or later, we will die. But Jesus made peace between me and a holy righteous God by bearing the judgment of a holy and righteous God on sin. I couldn't pay the price for my sins. The psalmist says, "None can by any means redeem his brother, for the redemption of the soul is costly and must be given up forever." It's a price that's too much for me to pay. But in the gospel I can tell you that the Lord Jesus has paid that price. And he's paid it with his life. He's paid it with the shedding of his precious blood. The Lord Jesus was there on the cross. You remember 9 o'clock in the morning, they crucified him. And from 9 till 12, he hung there on the cross. And people walked past and some mocked him. Some reviled him. There was no pity, no sympathy for him. And then at midday, just as the sun was at its hottest and its highest, there came darkness over the whole land. And in a sense, the scene was veiled by darkness. And in those 3 hours of darkness, it was dark from 12 till 3. You remember at the end of those 3 hours, the Lord Jesus said two things. Well, in fact, I suppose he said three things. One of the things he said was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Another thing he said was, it is finished. And the other thing he said was, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So you think about that. Why did he say, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because God was holy and the Lord Jesus, although sinless, was made sin. And God poured out his judgment of sin upon the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, doesn't it, that sins can be forgiven, that sin is condemned. The Lord Jesus was condemned in the sinner's stead. He was condemned so that you and I, through faith in him, might have peace with God, because God poured out the judgment of sin. The Lord Jesus said, it is finished. He meant it's completed. The work that I came to do is done. And he was then taken down from the cross. He was put in the tomb. As we know, Joseph and Nicodemus took him and laid him in that tomb. And then he was there for 3 days and three nights. And on the resurrection, on the first day of the week, he rose from among the dead. God raised him. He was raised by the glory of the Father. That tells me that God was satisfied by the work that the Lord Jesus did. And not only that, but death had no claim on him. He was the first man to go into death and to come out of death in his own power. Think of that. That's why my faith and trust is in him. Do you know anyone else who's gone into death and come out of death? There are many religions in this world, but you know, whether it's Muhammad or whether it's Buddha or whether it's any of these other religious leaders, they're all dead. Jesus is alive. You know, many years ago I read an interview, it was in the Financial Times, what was in the Financial Times, I think it was at the weekend, and they were interviewing the vicar at Holy Trinity Brompton. I think his name was Sandy Mullin or something like that. But he had been a criminal barrister. And he was on the tube one day, and he said he got on the tube, it's quite busy. He said a man got on that he vaguely knew. And this man said to him in quite a loud voice, do you realise that Jesus is alive? And he was a bit taken aback and a bit embarrassed. But he thought, if I sound confident, it might shut him up. So he said, yes. And then the man said to him, what difference has it made to your life? Oh no, has it made a difference to your life? And he said he felt himself getting embarrassed. And he said, yes, it's made a difference to my life. And then he got off the tube, or that was the end of the conversation. But he said he couldn't get out of his mind the fact that he wasn't a Christian. He didn't really believe that Jesus was alive, and certainly it had made no difference to his life. But he started reading the Gospels, and through reading the Gospels, he came to salvation. But I'd like to ask you, do you realise that Jesus is alive? And if you do, has it made a difference to your life? Made a difference to the lives of these disciples here. It made a difference to the life of Thomas. You see, Thomas, Jesus says to Thomas, be not unbelieving, but believing. And that's what the gospel is preached for. It's preached for the acceptance of faith, that I can't prove. If I could prove things to you, then it wouldn't be faith. But faith is accepting what God says. And the Bible tells me what God says. You've probably heard it said before, but you know, it's been well said that there's more evidence that Jesus rose from among the dead, that Julius Caesar lived, and that Alexander the Great died when he was 33. Those are things that I've always known from boyhood, that Alexander the Great, what a great warrior he was, died at 33. What a waste it seemed. But you know, there's less evidence for those facts that we perhaps accept than for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But nonetheless, it's for the acceptance of faith. The Lord Jesus says, doesn't he? Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they who have not seen and have believed. And that's you and me. We can be blessed because we haven't seen, but we can believe. We can believe these things. Thomas saw, Thomas believed. Thomas, think of Jesus. I think it's remarkable. Jesus didn't say to Thomas, "Where were you last week?" The Lord doesn't rebuke Thomas, but rather, Thomas was there, and the Lord has something to say to him. And perhaps Jesus has something to say to me or to you tonight through what is said. He's got something for us. Thomas was seeking. I know Thomas has said he wanted proof. But, you know, Thomas was there with the disciples. Jesus came. The first thing Jesus said was peace. So we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says to Thomas, he says, "I want you to be believing. I want you to be believing." It's a good thing. It's an essential thing to believe. We can only have peace with God through believing. Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." It's a remarkable thing for Thomas to say. My Lord. We all know the 23rd Psalm, I'm sure. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not just a matter of saying the Lord is the shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. I wonder if David knew the Lord to be his shepherd. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to come into a relationship with him. He doesn't want it just to be an academic and intellectual thing that we know about him. But he wants us to come into relationship. And so I think Thomas is acknowledging two things. First of all, by saying "my Lord and my God," he's acknowledging that Jesus is alive. He's acknowledging the fact that Jesus has risen from among the dead. But then he's acknowledging that there's a relationship, that he says "my Lord and my God." You know, if we look back earlier in the chapter, the Lord Jesus says to Mary, doesn't he, "Go to my brethren and say, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He was telling them there was a relationship, and Thomas acknowledges that there's a relationship to be brought into. Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Eternal life, it says in John 17, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And so Thomas, you know, Thomas is really blessed. Jesus says that, "Blessed they who have not seen and have believed." Blessed. It's not that sometimes we could use the word happy. The word blessed is used quite a lot in the Bible. David uses it in the Psalms, doesn't he? Blessed is the man to whom God reckoneth not iniquity. How true that is. Well, Thomas was a man to whom iniquity would not be reckoned, because not only was a believer, but he knew something of this relationship. My Lord and my God. My Lord. You know, Jesus as Lord. What does the scripture say? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. That means that I acknowledge that he's my master. That he's got control of me, control of my life. He should have control of what I say and what I do. He's my master and my God. Wonderful thing, you know, that when Jesus was here, as the scripture said, God was manifest in flesh. That's an amazing thing that God can't really comprehend. How great God is, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. Think of God being here as a man. As the epistle to the Hebrews says, he became some little lower than the angels on account of the suffering of death. He became man so that he might die. As God, he couldn't die. He became man that not only might he die, but that he might come near to us. It's a very simple analogy, but as someone said, you know, if you wanted to get near to a bird, you know, as a human, if you try and walk up to birds, unless they're a friendly little robin in the back garden, they're going to fly away. But, you know, if you become a bird, you can come close to birds and they won't fly away. You know, the Lord Jesus became man that he might come near to us. God, the scripture says, is a consuming fire. You know, God dwells in light unapproachable. God is unapproachable for humans like you and me. But he became a man that he might come near to us. We can't get near to God. God has come near to us in the person of the Lord Jesus. Jesus came here to save us. And as we see from this scripture, Thomas is blessed, my Lord and my God. Jesus says to him, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed they who have not seen and have believed. We can't see. We can only see by faith. But we can believe tonight. Accept what God says in the gospel. And I just read these last two verses. In a sense, this is how John concludes his gospel. He's written of seven signs in the gospel that he's written. He says many other signs, therefore, also Jesus did before his disciples, which are not written in these book, in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. God wants you to have life through faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what it means, have life. That believing you might have life in his name. God wants you to have a life, the life that he gives. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Now what Jesus gives, he doesn't give sparingly, he gives abundantly. He gives faith, he gives hope, he gives peace, he gives sonship, he gives the Holy Spirit. What wonderful blessings there are for those that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. I trust that each one of us might leave this room believing, and that believing we might have life in his name. Life through the Lord Jesus Christ. How precious it is, how wonderful it is. Thomas was blessed that Sunday after Easter. Trust that someone here or perhaps someone somewhere else sitting in the gospel might be blessed the Sunday after Easter for his name's sake.